Thank you, Chonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, July 14, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Police in Gweru today detained about 15 members of the opposition Transform Zimbabwe Party for allegedly staging an illegal demonstration at the Magistrates Court, where their leader was facing charges of holding an illegal meeting.
They just moved when the president was moving from the court to the police station. So unfortunately, the law enforcement agents are taking it as unlawful demonstration.
A Harare High Court judge today dismissed a court application filed by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights challenging the recent hike in toll gates.
Yeah, of course, as a motorist myself and on behalf of my client, I am disappointed with the ruling, but we accept the ruling and we wait for further instructions from our client, which is the applicant, on what to proceed, on how to proceed with the judgment.
And the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agent says consumer prices declined last month compared to May.
At the moment, it's very difficult because sometimes you buy goods outside the country, then you find that you don't get buyers on time this side.
Police in the Midlands capital Gweru today detained about 15 members of the small opposition party Transform Zimbabwe for allegedly staging an illegal demonstration at the Magistrates Court, where their leader, Jacob Ngarivume, was facing charges of holding an illegal meeting. Ngarivume was detained Saturday. State prosecutors had recommended that police proceed by way of summons in the opposition leader's case, but his freedom was short-lived. Police in Harare said he must remain in custody and be extradited to Harare to answer to a similar charge of holding an unsanctioned meeting in the capital. Transform Zimbabwe Midlands Chairman Rabson Shirichena tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the detained members are innocent.
It was not like they were demonstrating. They were just there to show solidarity with their leader. So they just moved when the president was moving from the court to the police station. So unfortunately, the law enforcement agents are taking it as unlawful demonstration.
What is your take on the continued arrest of members of your party?
The continued arrest of our members, we see it as a mechanism that has been employed by ZANU-PF to continuously harass members of opposition parties. This actually detains the effort that has been made to bring democracy to our nation. As a party, Transform Zimbabwe, we are calling upon the government to make sure that it aligns the old acts that they are using, for example, the POSA and the AIPA, to the new constitution, actually, which allows for freedom of movement, for freedom of expression, for freedom of association.
That was Transform Zimbabwe Midlands Chairman Rabson Shirichena speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gweru.
A Harare High Court judge today dismissed a court application filed by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights challenging the recent hike in toll gate fees. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
High Court Judge Joseph Mafusire ruled that the application challenging Transport Minister Obed Mpofu's new toll gate fees lacked merit. Justice Mafusire's ruling, that was read on his behalf by Justice Francis Bere, said it was within the exclusive domain of the minister as a member of the executive to decide how road rehabilitation and construction in the country should be managed. Justice Mafusire, however, found that the issue in question was of public importance. The lawyer representing the Zimbabwe National Road Administration, or ZINARA, Advocate Farai Mtamangira, welcomed the court's decision.
Yeah, all right. The application was dismissed, meaning that ZINARA and the Minister of Transport were successful. The full details of the reasons are in the judgment. Essentially, the point is that the court was not satisfied that a cause of action had been disclosed or made out on the papers.
ZLHR's attorney, Joshua Shekede, said although he is bound by the court's ruling, he is not happy with its decision.
As a motorist myself and on behalf of my client, I am disappointed with the ruling, but we accept the ruling and we wait for further instructions from our client, which is the applicant.
Although ZLHR had filed a court challenge, government, through ZINARA, went ahead to charge motorists the new fees that were hiked by at least 100%. Small motor vehicles are now required to pay $2, up from $1, while heavy vehicles are now required to pay $10 instead of $5. Harare motorist Mufudzisa Kupukanya said he is also not happy with the court's ruling. He added that by hiking toll gate charges, the government has demonstrated its insensitivity to the plight of Zimbabweans who are bearing the brunt of an excruciating economic crisis. In other news, a Harare woman jumped to her death from the 13th floor of a building in the city center this morning in what is suspected to be a suicide case. Police spokesperson Charity Charamba said authorities are still investigating the matter, but sources at the crime scene claimed that the now deceased had earlier had an argument with her unnamed husband. Women's rights organizations, as well as government, have expressed concern in the rise in domestic violence cases in the country. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency says consumer prices declined by 0.08% year-on-year last month compared to 0.19% in May. And on a month-on-month, the prices fell by 0.03% in June against a 0.13% recorded the previous month. The report comes amid the worsening economic situation in the country, with many people saying they are battling to make ends meet. One such person is cross-border trader Vusani Ngwenya, who says his motor spares business has taken a massive hit from the declining economy.
Life is very difficult this side, my brother. Taking into account that we are using the US dollar, it's very, very difficult for ordinary people to access it. So people are living on a pound here.
And how are you managing?
It's very, very difficult. I'm a trader. I buy some goods outside the country for resale here. At the moment, it's very difficult because sometimes you buy goods outside the country, then you find that you don't get buyers on time this side. So it's really difficult to manage the business.
Can you give us an overview of prices for basic commodities?
2 kg of sugar is something like $1.80 to $2. Then mealy meal, 10 kg bag of mealy meal is something like $7 and above.
That was motor spares dealer Vusani Ngwenya in Bulawayo. For perspective, Ntunga Milinkomo reached political and social economic commentator Dumisani Nkomo.
It's a very dire situation because if you look at it, not enough jobs have been generated. Capacity utilization is less than 40% in terms of the companies and firms in Zimbabwe. Unemployment is very high. There's very little money in circulation and there's very little foreign direct investment as well, which is stifling economic growth.
The country is on the precipice, Mr. Nkomo, and urgent action is needed. What exactly can be done?
I think one of the important things is for the government to maintain policy consistency. I mean, they should be consistent in terms of the policies they've put in place. For example, they've crafted Zimaset, but already we find that they're deviating from that particular policy. So it's very important for government to ensure that it implements the policies that it puts in place, because stability attracts investors. Investors are interested in a stable environment where their investments are not threatened by indigenization, by inflammatory rhetoric. So it's very critical and cardinal for the government to ensure that people want to invest in Zimbabwe, have their investment protected, the properties secured and respected, and we don't have legislation that seeks to intimidate investors.
That was political and social commentator Dumisani Nkomo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, tomorrow, Studio 7 will talk to ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa about the state of the Zimbabwe economy.
Education Minister Lazarus Dokora says his ministry will adopt a holistic approach as outlined in the new constitution to address the issue of deployment of non-Ndebele-speaking teachers in Matabele land, especially in primary schools. Speaking at a workshop organized by ZANU-PF in Bulawayo at the weekend, Dokora agreed that there was a problem in the deployment of such teachers and emphasized that the constitution recognizes 16 languages in the country. ZANU-PF Politburo member Skanyiso Ndlovu confirmed the meeting to Studio 7, adding that regional education officers and headmasters also have a role to play in the deployment of teachers. However, he declined to comment further. Others have suggested a quota system in the teacher training enrollment process depending on where the training college is located. For perspective on this issue, reporter Tandikile Mhlanga turned to Morris Ngwenya, political commentator and ZANU-PF member.
I don't think government will go back or renege on any issues to do with the languages, because those are constitutional issues, but we have to put into consideration that the views of ordinary people are different from the nitty-gritties that come up when those issues are being considered, because some technical issues have to be considered in addressing those issues. Therefore, I think due diligence has to be taken, especially in considering dealing with the issues to do with the languages and ethnicity, because they are very sensitive issues the world over. So I think really government has to really put into consideration all concerns from all stakeholders and address them in a way that will be perhaps equitable.
Do you think the quota system can work to solve this problem?
From my point of view, I think that would be a good idea, because there will be no point introducing languages when there will be no people to teach that language. But there has to be a mechanism whereby you will ensure that those languages will be taught in those schools. We need a sober approach in addressing the issue of languages, because ethnic issues are very sensitive the world over. Therefore, I think due diligence should be put into consideration, and that is to be considered by everyone who wants to contribute to this debate. These are sensitive issues. However, everyone has to be happy at the end of the day.
That was Morris Ngwenya, political commentator and ZANU-PF member, on the line from Harare.
Each one of us, we want to see the economy of this country improve. We want to see the lives of our people improve. Come the elections. When the elections come and people are free, they are not hungry, they don't care about handouts like we have always done when it comes to elections. We go around giving people packages of meal of rice, of this and this. But once the economy has picked up and everybody has a full stomach, nobody will care to go and waste their time queuing for packets of rice, packets of meal and so on.
That there is the voice of ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa, who is going to be our guest tomorrow in our continuing political series.
You talked, we listened. By popular demand, Studio 7 Live Talk is launching our very own Women's Round Table starting Thursday, July 16. This show seeks to address issues of concern to us as women. Tell us what you want us to discuss via email at studio7@voanews.com. The address again, studio7@voanews.com, or on WhatsApp 1-202-465-0318. The number again, 1-202-465-0318. And of course, on our Studio 7 Facebook page.
Most farmers who are leasing farms to former white commercial farmers are recording high yields. They say top politicians are misleading President Robert Mugabe, who has threatened in the past to repossess all land being leased to displaced white farmers. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from National and West Provincial Capital, Shinoi.
Rufaro Kasi is an A2 farmer in Mangura, Makonde District. Kasi started working with the former commercial farmers 3 years ago and is now a proud owner of farming equipment that includes 2 tractors, a combine harvester, and some irrigation material. Kasi sees no problem in leasing his farm as long as he remains the owner of his 34-hectare of land allocated to him in 2001 under Zimbabwe's controversial land reform program. The farmer says he is working in collaboration with one of the former white commercial farmers in order to boost his crop yields. Kasi says he is now harvesting about 12 tons of maize per hectare compared to 4 tons when he was cultivating crops on his own.
And I've realized production, I've realized progress from the world.
Kasi says some top politicians in the province are misleading the president as they were the first to work with the former white commercial farmers.
Truly speaking, what I have discovered there is the president is not briefed adequately. These top guys, they are not briefing him correctly what is exactly on the ground. They just say to them, this must go.
Launching a 1 permit for 79 black farmers in Chifundi recently, President Mugabe noted that his ministers are also to blame for sub-leasing farms. Mr. Mugabe said ministers and the chiefs risk losing the land allocated to them if found on the wrong side of the law. On permits, local farmer Monache Dendera says he is skeptical about the bankability of the A1 permits, considering that the 99-year leases granted to farmers and they used as collateral were rejected by commercial banks.
You can't borrow anything from the bank, I no guarantee. And anyway, these financial institutions, they don't recognize that thing. The simple place, the permit. What is this permit for? They are saying this permit thing is for an indefinite period. But
Lands Minister Douglas Mombeshora says the permit holders may face some challenges in sourcing bank loans.
The permit is issued for the benefit of the permit holder and his or her dependents. The permit is valid for an indefinite period. Rights of permit holders are clearly stated in the statutory instrument. Permit holders can do improvements on the allocated land. Spouses are recognized and inheritance procedures are laid down, among other conditions.
Some 220,472 A1 farmers countrywide are expected to receive the new permits. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Chitungwiza municipal workers returned to work after an ultimatum issued Friday by Labour Minister Nicholas Goche that gave the workers 24 hours to stop the industrial action pending a determination of the dispute by the Labour Court. But Chitungwiza workers spokesman Reverend Ephraim Katsina says they found out that the purported show cause order was defective as it was not signed by the minister as is required by the labour laws. Katsina says the letter also did not have a date and was sent through the post instead of being delivered to their address. Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti confirmed to Studio 7 that the workers were back at work while his council is trying to raise the over $11 million it owes them. Studio 7 failed to reach Minister Goche for a comment, but Katsina says workers are not going to go back on strike while negotiating with council.
The correct position is that workers were told to go back to work on Friday. And as I speak, are now at their workplaces. And the thing here is that the show cause order must only be signed by the minister, not a person appointed by the minister, but by the minister himself. So as far as we are concerned, we have discovered that the show cause order is a nullity. The show cause order is not an event. The show cause order does not exist. The show cause order is defective. So because it is defective, we have treated workers should also go back to the workplaces whilst we try to pursue other ways of getting our salaries.
Does this mean that workers are still free to go on strike?
Definitely, they are free to go on strike. But we have taken a stance that we will not go for an industrial action again. We want them to give us our money.
That was Chitungwiza workers spokesman Reverend Ephraim Katsina in Chitungwiza.
The MDCT has crafted a raft of election rules and regulations ahead of its October Congress meant to curb the chaos reminiscent of last year's primary elections. Part of these regulations include the muzzling of those who want to contest in all positions until provincial assemblies are held. But despite that, some potential candidates have started canvassing for support on social network sites like Facebook. Last year, during primary elections, there was a lot of confusion and allegations of vote rigging that led to some candidates standing as independents. The MDCT, which was supposed to hold its Congress in 2016, pulled back the date to this year after calls for party leader Morgan Tsvangirai to step down grew louder. It will now be held in October. Tsvangirai says the people will decide if they want him or not at the Congress. He is going to be in the United Kingdom in 2 weeks' time canvassing for financial support. We reached the party spokesman Douglas Monzora for more details on the party Congress.
So far, people can do nice things to others, but we have not yet opened the race. We have not yet opened the nominations. The time for opening of the nominations is going to come, and everybody who wants to campaign is going to get a very, very fair share or a fair chance to campaign. But what we don't want is people to disrupt the program. It is not fair to start campaigning, to start nominating, when the provincial assemblies themselves have not bought into the regulations yet.
Yes, Mr. Monzora, can you tell us about the financial resources and the venue?
The venue is definitely going to be in Harare. That has been settled. As to which exact building in Harare, we have not yet got that. But we made a decision that it is going to be held in Harare this time. Regarding the finances, yes, the finances are being mobilized. We are not the only political party that is looking for funds to hold their Congress. ZANU-PF is doing the same because that is normal for political parties to mobilize financial resources.
And that was Douglas Monzora, the MDCT spokesman. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
The death penalty is a divisive issue in Zimbabwe as elsewhere. Despite calls to abolish it by human rights groups, the country's High Court recently sentenced three police officers and a civilian to death by hanging. However, as reporter Blessing Zulu reports, a meeting in Cotonou, Benin, recently shows momentum is building against the capital punishment worldwide.
Debate over capital punishment was reignited by two high-profile court cases. The first, the High Court's decision to sentence to death three policemen and a civilian who murdered a security guard during a botched armed robbery 4 years ago. The second, the Supreme Court's quashing of the death penalty on a game ranger by the High Court. The Supreme Court argued that the High Court had misled itself as it had ignored extenuating circumstances. The decision by Zimbabwe's courts paradoxically coincides with the African Union's African Commission on Human and People's Rights call for the abolishment of the practice at a conference in Cotonou, Benin. Human rights lawyer Arnold Tsunga, an opposition movement for democratic change legislator who attended the Benin meeting, says he supports the call for a moratorium.
The continental policy is in the direction of abolition. A few countries, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Somalia, Sudan, those are the countries that are still implementing the death penalty.
Organizers hope to increase support among African countries ahead of a new resolution for a universal moratorium on executions at the next AU General Assembly meeting and the adoption of an additional African protocol for the abolition of the death penalty. Zimbabwe's constitution allows for the death penalty, but no one has been executed since 2004, in part because there was no hangman. No one was willing to take up the job. Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, who was once sentenced to death by the rebel government of Ian Smith, has vowed not to sign any execution warrants.
We have 89 people on the death row. Two of them are women, 87 are men. And they are lucky, they haven't signed papers for their execution.
Meanwhile, men on death row, such as convicted murderer Shepherd Mazango, who robbed and hugged a man to death, have raised constitutional arguments in a Supreme Court challenge against the death penalty. Convicted to die by hanging in November 2009, Mazango's presidential mercy petition fell through. He has filed an emergency motion with the courts, but because court cases have been known to take ages without judgments, Zimbabwean defense lawyers have raised arguments that forcing someone accused or even convicted of a capital offense to wait for years before an execution amounted to cruel and unusual punishment, which the Constitution says is illegal. Mazango wants his sentence commuted to life in prison and says he has suffered anguish on death row because of the delay in execution. Amnesty International senior researcher Simeon Mawanza says Zimbabwe must end capital punishment.
We are opposed to the death penalty, and we are urging the Zimbabwean government to remove it.
Human Rights Watch senior researcher Dewama Vinga concurs, adding that the death penalty has no place in a democracy.
The death penalty is a barbaric act which was never relevant to Zimbabwe.
Many opponents of capital punishment also argue that the practice can be applied indiscriminately. Tsunga argues that some people end up on death row due to unfair trials or discrimination against vulnerable groups or political opponents, as was the case during the Liberation War for such leaders as Nelson Mandela and Robert Mugabe. Present-day governments have been known to impose the death penalty on political opponents on charges of treason. In 2013, Zimbabwe passed a new constitution to keep the death penalty, but only impose it on men aged between 21 and 70. Women are exempt. Harare lawyer Jeremiah Bamu of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights argues that the law, which also bans the use of death penalty as a mandatory punishment, is gender biased.
It almost creates a disparity between men and women. So that on its own creates an inequality.
Some architects of the new constitution, Douglas Monzora of the Movement for Democratic Change and ZANU-PF's Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana, say the law is not rigid on death penalty. Mangwana says the new constitution has a technical moratorium on executions.
There is no death penalty because right now there is no law in the country providing for a death penalty in aggravated circumstances.
Monzora admits to sharp differences over the issue during the drafting process.
There were some people who wanted the death penalty for different reasons across the political divide. Some were thinking about treason and about so-called traitors who fell the country. That's one group. There was another group of people who were thinking of the murders that took place in 2008, and during Gukurahund and so on.
Zimbabwe's Prosecutor General, Johannes Tomana, says his role is to execute the law.
We are supposed to enforce the law of the people, which is on the statute books.
However, Tomana says at a personal level, he questions those who want to abolish the practice.
But let me say, in my peace of mind, who is actually concerned about it not being appropriate? Who is worrying about respecting the lives of those that have no respect for other people's lives? I wonder. It must be the killer.
Zimbabwe is one of the 36 African countries that still have a death penalty sentence in their statute books. Reporting for VOA Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington.
And in sports news, the 2014 FIFA World Cup tournament ended yesterday with Germany lifting the cup after beating Argentina 1-0 in extra time. Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye talks to sports fan Fabian Mahembe.
The World Cup, which ended yesterday in Brazil, with Germany losing the World Cup, everybody was really happy for the Germans considering the way they played all along in the tournament. Everybody is happy for them, considering also that they managed to outclass the host nation, Brazil.
Argentina's Lionel Messi was awarded the Adidas Golden Ball Award for outstanding displays during the World Cup. How is this award being viewed in Zimbabwe?
You see, with the tournaments like this, people tend to have different views. But in my own personal opinion, I'm convinced that I'm really happy for this boy, Lionel Messi, for clinching this award. His contribution throughout the